This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, it's Niall Boylan. Welcome along to Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, my little nighttime soiree for the next 3 hours. Now, we've a lot to get through tonight, including an interesting topic that I was thinking about today, and I thought I would bring it to you a little bit later on. And I'm not too sure how to even word this, but it's kind of like, would you stick by somebody? The reason I want to talk about this is because I've been watching all the very serious crimes in the newspapers in relation to people being arrested for murder, people being arrested for rape, people being arrested and charged with all sorts of carry on. And when I see people coming out of the courtrooms, you know, there was one guy I saw, I won't go into the naming of it because it's still in court, but he was accused of murder and he's in his late 20s. And I seen his mother, it looked like his mother, and his father coming out of court with him. And I seen another case there recently of a rape case and it looked like his sister or somebody that was with him or a friend. And I often wondered, would you stick by somebody if they're accused of such a serious crime? When you know in your heart and soul they actually did it, they're only in a court case because obviously they have an opportunity like everybody else to face a jury of their peers. But would you stick by somebody if it was your son, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your daughter, whatever? Would you stick by them if they had, you know, the guards knocked at the door, arrested them, took them away in handcuffs, and you found out they'd been charged with serious grievous bodily harm or, you know, rape or murder or a serious crime? I'm not talking about, you know, stealing a bar of chocolate from a shop or something like that. Or even maybe serious drug dealing. Would you stick by them? We'll talk about that a bit later on. Now, you might have noticed, by the way, yesterday, a lot of stuff was coming out about the budget. One thing you've got to remember in your head when we're going into this budget in October is that the government are now not looking for your votes anymore. Last year, they knew there was an election coming up. So it was a bit of a giveaway. And they also threw in, of course, you know, the cost of living bonus for everybody who'd been on social welfare. They sent out the electricity credits, the usual last year, and they reduced student fees by €1,000 last year, which are going to go back up again this year, by the way, can I point out, because it was only for 1 year. So they did everything they could to make it look good last year, but they said this year, you know, there's a kind of cooling off. This is a 5-year plan. There'll be no giveaway budget this year. I can't see any reductions in taxes. I can't see any reduction in anything actually happening this year. Because the government now have your vote. This is the first year, and always the first year of a governmental term of 5 years, you won't see reductions. So I'm not sure, I don't understand why people get surprised. So I'm reading here, third level students and those preparing to go to college are going to be really hurt by the government decision not to repeat last year's 1,000 reduction in undergraduate fees. The deputy president of the AMLE, the National Union of Students of Ireland, said that the move will lead to an increase in students deferring their degrees or leaving the country to study elsewhere in Europe. Higher Education Minister James Lawless said over the weekend, as it stands, the universal cut to college fees for all undergraduate students in Ireland will not be replicated in this year's budget. This means that, of course, many third-level undergraduate students whose fees have been cut from 2,000 or 3,000 to 2,000 will see the fees being reverted back to 3,000 again. Now, to be fair, Ireland is one of the cheapest places in the world, probably, that you can go to third level education. The €3,000 does not cover the cost of educating you to third level education for 1 year. Between the cost of the building, the heat, the light, the rent, everything else, you are not covering the cost. It's an administration fee. The government are subsidising it. Well, the government aren't subsidising it. You're subsidising it. The taxpayer. So here's the thing, right? Here's a novel idea. What about increasing the fees? Because in most countries in the world, you'll pay €20,000 or €30,000 per year. But now, don't jump on me here, right? But telling students, you don't have to pay anything at all. We're going to give you a loan. It's free of charge. So for every course, be it a nurse, a doctor, whatever it happens to be, tech, whatever it happens to be, those needed industries, we're going to cover your costs. We're going to give you a loan. Off you go. It's free of charge. You don't have to pay it back, provided you stay in the country and use those skills for the Irish economy. Because here's the thing. If we're subsidising the cost of a nurse getting trained, and we are, and the taxpayer is paying for it, and from day one that nurse says, well, I'm not staying in this country, I'm off to Australia, I'm off to Canada, I'm off to Dubai, I'm off to somewhere else where there's more opportunities, well, then we just lost a substantial amount of money. That was a bad investment of your taxpayers' money. So why not say, listen, Mary, we'll pay for your education as a nurse. You don't have to pay a penny. Not a single penny. But if you leave the country, you have to pay. So as soon as you leave the country, you then get a reduction in tax credits, yada, 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 and you have to start paying it back. It happened actually to a girl I worked with many years ago who was living in Australia. And she, same thing, she got her course, she got her student loan. When she came to Ireland to work, the employer in Ireland was contacted and had to deduct money for the Australian government. So what I'm saying to you is, if they stay in Ireland, each week there's a credit taken off that loan for free. They don't have to pay it. And if they work here for a period of, say, 5 or 10 years or whatever it is, I haven't decided on a figure, well, then they get those student fees essentially for free because they're putting money back into the Irish economy again and giving it back to the taxpayer. Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, but Niall, it's a bit unfair at the moment because the cost of accommodation and everything. But let me just park that and pretend, for the purpose of the argument, that that's better. That's a fixed situation because I wouldn't do this right now. It would be unfair to students. I would do it once we get past this housing crisis and accommodation crisis. So the number is 085-100-2255. That's 085-100-2255. Should we have free student loans that have to be paid back if they're not used in the Irish economy? Now, to give me some sense of where, you know, teachers might sit with this or educators might sit, Eric Nelligan from AIM2 joins me on the line. Eric, hi. Eric,
hey, Niall, how are you doing?
Yeah, oh, you're there. You're there. That's all right.
I'm there, yeah. Sorry, just had an issue with my phone for a second.
Are you okay?
Interesting point. Interesting argument you're putting forward there.
Yeah. Would it work?
It requires a lot of trust. And in the Irish, look, is it a throwback to colonial times? Is it a throwback to being part of the empire for 800 years? There's acute tourism in Irish people, and can you see people who may end up going abroad saying, yeah, do you know what, I'm going to keep sending back a portion of my wages, or I'm going to pay back loans from 10 years ago. I don't know. It's a good topic of conversation. But
we wouldn't be the only country to do it, by the way. Other countries do this. You know, Australia does it.
Yeah, you mentioned there that the mandate to get the money back, I don't know the legalities of that.
We have tax agreements with many countries around the world, you know, so we can do that. And that's what happened, as I said, to this person that I knew. You know, the employer was contacted and said, listen, that person owes us money for their college course and we have to take it out of their wages per week. So you need to send it to us. And that had to be done.
Tell me, do you think, why do young people leave Ireland at the moment? Like, I think there's something like 35,000 or so young people left, or people left Ireland, the highest since the recession days, left in the last year. Why do you think that is? Is it that they don't like Ireland, or is it that cost of housing is too expensive?
I think, especially in
hospitals and doctors and nurses, that the conditions are working in, like the amount of patients they have to deal with compared to Australia, which is a far lower ratio of staff member to patient. I would say they're the thing. I would say my cousin's a doctor and he tried to get promotion opportunities in Ireland, but he weren't there. Went to Australia. The hours he works are far better. The pay he gets is far better. And like, I suppose I'm speaking for this from a personal point of view as well. And he had a chance to come back to Ireland, but when he came back for the interview, he didn't get what he wanted. And what he was offered was not comparable to the lifestyle and the remuneration and all that he got, that he had in Perth.
So, yeah, and I wouldn't disagree. Like many, particularly in nurses, many of them leave the country and used to go to the NHS because the NHS had, not just that it was better pay, I think the pay was pretty much around the same, to be honest with you, but there was better opportunities for promotions because it's a much bigger organisation. There is no doubt about that. Ireland is a small country. And you could even ignore the recession and ignore the housing crisis. Even now, if everything was hunky-dory with the best government in the world, there was no problems, you know, I reckon probably 1 in every 5 would leave the country, or 2 in every 5 would leave the country anyway, because young people want to do that. They want to explore the world. They want to get around. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. If I'm putting my hand in my pocket every week to pay tax, to train people, because that's what taxpayers are paying for, we're subsidizing education. You know as well as I do, the €3,000 doesn't cover the cost of their education. So if you're putting your money in your pocket, if you're putting your money in your pocket every week and you're paying for, you know, the tech industry, nurses, doctors, whatever industry, midwives, whatever industry it happens to be, well, you know that money should come back into the Irish economy again. But as soon as they qualify, they walk out the door into an airport and off to some other country. They're using our taxpayers' money to make money in another economy. And I think that's just not good value for money. Now, I don't want to punish students, but I do believe that we have to reap the rewards of what we're doing and educating people, because we have a good education system, generally speaking.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we should be proud of it. Compared to, say, America or anywhere else, we have a really good education system. So, but if you go to America, you know what the cost in America to go to college are.
Yeah,
I mean, people remortgage their bloody houses.
Yeah. I suppose the way I would look at it is, I don't look at it as a bad thing per se that young people might leave. But what for me is, it's getting them back is the key. Like, a lot of young people, having gone through whatever 20 years of education or whatever, 15 to 20 years of education, they might want to go and see the world and see new things. There's nothing wrong with that per se, and experience different things for a year or two. But the key should be trying to get them back to Ireland. Like, the last thing any parent wants is their child to leave and never come back, or to leave to Australia and stay down there or wherever. What the parents will have no problem, I'm sure you're the same, and I'm definitely the same, my kids would be old enough, if they wanted to go traveling for a couple of months or a year, you'd gladly accept that. But it's enticing them back is a problem, and I think that's where we're failing. So I would just be a little bit wary with...
Would it be better if they didn't leave in the first place? If there was more... obviously, if there was more opportunities here, it would be so much better. Yeah. We had a much better system. We had the cost of accommodation was reasonable for them not wanting to leave the country. But and the wages were better. Let's say that's sorted. I can tell you now, it'll take decades for that to be sorted, because this government are not doing a very good job of that. Okay, so, but just let's say for argument's sake that's sorted. Well, in principle, then, I think the idea is good to retain people in the country. Now, if they still want to go, they can go. And I'm not saying you screw them. You know, this will be an interest-free loan. They'll say, I don't know what the loan would be. You work it out based on what college fees should cost. And they have to kind of pay it back. So it might only be 20 quid a week or 30 quid a week out of their salary in another country. But if they stay here, you know, for the five years, for argument's sake. If they stay here for 5 years in Ireland, well, then they get a credit off their wages every week. So no money is actually taken, just a credit off that loan. So that loan starts reducing over the 5 years, right down to nothing by the end of the 5 years. Then they can go where they want. So at least we've got our money back, and we've got our bang for our buck, so to speak.
Oh, there will be a fear within me that if that happened, and if a young person, just say, graduated with a bill of 100,000 that they had to pay back over a certain number of years, or whatever that fee would be, the next thing, some government down the line would say, let's change that, and let's get rid of this credit. And next thing, the young person has landed with that bill to pay. That fear would be...
Well, no, I wouldn't agree with that. Obviously, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know you wouldn't. But, like, you're talking for... You're coming at this from a good place. You're coming at this with a genuine desire to see young people stay. But what we're talking about here is governments who, when things start going wrong, could, like what they did with the pensions a number of years back, they just decided to... During the recession, they tapped into people's pensions because they needed money. What's to stop some government in the future do that? And like, I distrust Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Like, you were in the political experience there for a while, and you might have your own opinions. So I would prefer to focus on getting young people back. So the A&2, I don't know if you heard there a little while back, A&2 launched Operation Shamrock, which was encouraging our children and our young people who've left this country to bring them back. And we were offering something similar to what you said. We were offering upfront payments that if they come back to Ireland, they get money. And if they commit to working in the health service or the construction industry for 5 years, we plan to give priority towards housing for young people to come back, so that if they do come back to Ireland or Dublin or wherever they want to live, that...
Well, I would offer, if it was me and I was in charge of government, for people to come back, skilled workers, now skilled workers, not labourers, to come back to Ireland, I would offer them tax-free for 2 years.
Oh, definitely. And did you see there, was it a couple of weeks ago, it was revealed that over half of new nurses that were registered with the council in Ireland didn't do their primary degree in Ireland. So what that's showing us is we've such a shortage of nurses, and we're losing so many of our own. I think almost
there's a win-win in what I'm saying. Forget about the $3,000 they have to pay a year at the moment, or in some places a bit more, $3,500, the administration fee. That's gone. So in other words, there's actually a win-win here for the student, where there'll be no fees for the 4 years.
Yeah.
And if they continue to stay in the country for 5 years, let's just say five for argument's sake, they pay nothing for their education. So,
like, fine.
So I think everybody wins. But now, I know the fear that you have that once you open the door to something like this, you know, future governments go, let's put the $3,000 back on again. And I get all of that. But, like, it would have to be put into law. It would have to be, you know, ring-fenced.
And even things like, even things like, what's to stop somebody from Europe, from the EU, moving over here, and next thing coming through, like with this whole, we're talking hypothetically here, what's to stop someone from the EU coming over here as a EU citizen? Would they qualify? Can you, by law, discriminate against an EU citizen and non-EU citizen? So are we opening the door to EU citizens being eligible for this? And next thing, they come over to Ireland, get their
car. No, I wouldn't make the whole point of this is for Irish citizens to stay in Ireland. So no, I don't know where we'd stand with the EU law on that. I mean, that's something the government would have to work out, you know, the Attorney General or wherever it is works those things out, that it would only apply to people who are resident in Ireland and who are Irish citizens.
Yeah, so look, I think that there's an acorn of a good idea, a good semblance of an idea there, because we all want to encourage our young people to stay. We need young people in the country. We need things to improve fertility rates. We need to get people working in the construction and the health industries and the education. See, I see it myself in schools. There's an awful shortage of teachers out there. I'm sure you've read it in the newspapers. In Dublin, schools are having to drop subjects because they can't find qualified teachers. It's simply so expensive to live in Dublin. So it is a great starting point, and there's definitely elements of it that are definitely could work. I would just be afraid that this being Ireland and incompetent governments that we've had for the last God knows how many years, that something will go wrong. And next thing then, our young people who were promised X, Y, and Z and pulled away from them. So that would be my take. And
why do you think, by the way, Eric, just before you go, you talked about an incompetent government. And many people hold that view that we have an incompetent government, certainly for the last decade. I mean, it has been basically a mixture of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for God knows how long now at this stage. And yet, people still keep voting for the same thing over and over again. It's like Turkey's voting for Christmas. Sure. So if that's the case, why aren't AIM2 or Independent Ireland or those smaller parties who would maybe have a more conservative view, they lean slightly more to the right than the left because we've been left for so long. Why do you think they're not getting the votes?
Well, just before we move on to why we're not getting the votes, what I will say is, have you seen on social media in the last couple of days, we had Minister Dara O'Brien, who was out building himself up for putting a water fountain in Malahide.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah, should we have those years ago?
This is crazy. This guy was the minister for housing a couple of years ago. Now he's minister. I don't know. Is he minister for transport now? I think. Mm. And his big video is about putting a water fountain in a train station. Oh my God, that's and how low are the standards? And last week he was on about putting a kind of a little green band on number plates so you can see if you're a hybrid car or electric car. This is how low we've gotten.
That's all distraction, isn't it? You know what I mean? They're just sound bites. I mean, look, we had, I remember going to St. Anne's Park when I was a kid and I was in 9 or 10 and they had a water font that you could, you know, of drinking water, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? We used to have loads of those and they took them all away. There's nothing new or novel about his idea, by the way, can I just point out?
No, exactly. It's going back to 50 years ago. Yeah. But to come back to your question.
Is he going to bring phone boxes back next, is he?
God, who knows? But look, to come back to your question there about why you think Independent Ireland and A2 mightn't be growing as fast as you and I would like. Look, what I'd say to that is, A2, we doubled our vote in the last election. So that is growth. We're now, A2 and Independent Ireland are polling very similar. We're now polling 4 to 5%. Considering Independent Ireland have been around 2 years, A2 have been around, just over six now. So we are getting there. Ask yourself, how often do you hear someone from A2 or Independent Ireland on RT radio or a news talk?
Well, Padder gets a good bit of coverage, doesn't he? I mean,
he gets a reasonable amount. But I would like compare him to People Before Profit, who are half the size of A2. How often do you hear People Before Profit?
Siobhan Murphy's on the Tonight Show every second day. It's probably because he lives around the corner. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
So what I'm saying is we're growing, and once people, when the more, and like you're good for getting me on every so often, and in fairness, you offer an alternative voice out there. So once people, the more people that can see through the Dara O'Brien praising himself for putting a water fountain in a train station, and to realise that if you want change, the current crowd aren't going to change things. They will say and do anything to stay in power.
They did last year in the budget. Now, of course, and I warned people this year's budget wasn't going to be good. You know, there's going to be no Christmas bonuses this year. There'll be no giveaways for the cost of living this year. There'll be none of that carry on. Because they don't need your vote.
Ask yourself who's voting, and I suppose that could be a lot of disenfranchised people aren't voting. That's the reality of it. If you look at the statistics to show where the highest percentage of people vote and the lowest percentage of people vote, the highest percentage of people vote in the areas where there's nice big houses and there are the good jobs. And then you go to the socially deprived areas and the percentage.
So what you're saying to me is the highest percentage of the people are the people who kind of sit there going, I'm all right, Jack.
Exactly. That's exactly it. The people that vote for them mainly are I'm all right, Jack. And the people are disaffected. They don't see a future. So thankfully, people like yourself and independent media like Gripped and a few other places like that are giving Independent Ireland and Aintu a voice. We are growing. Social media is good for us. And I suppose we just need people to realize that this government, all they want to do is stay in power. So they'll trick you before an election and then they'll take it away straight after. And then they'll come back again a couple of years later, try and trick you again. And we need to get out of that. We need people to be brave. Okay.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed. Eric Nelligan from Aintu. Thinks it's not a bad idea, but being very cautious, obviously, because of future governments and what they could do with that. You know, they could play around with it. Let me go to Rene. Rene, hi. How are you?
Well, how are you doing?
Rene, is this a good idea? Sorry, you have a bit of road noise there. Is this a good idea?
Free education. Sure.
Well, it's not exactly free education. You know, you're paying back for it if you don't stay in the country.
Yeah, well, so they need to get some sort of help. Because I only actually read an article this morning that cost of living just for groceries and shopping has gone €3,000 more per annum for a family. I mean, how can anyone afford to send their kid to college? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The big issue we have is accommodation, right? I mean, it's. I think the average, what I hear, is something like for the year of college is €9,000-€10,000. Plus everything else.
Your line is really noisy, Rene. It's difficult to hear you. Sorry, go ahead. Go on.
And you know, where does it stop? You know, for them to go, trying to go to college, you know?
I know, yeah, the fees themselves are not the bad part. It's sometimes if a kid from Galway wants to, you know, study in Dublin, you've got to find somewhere to live.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife has a chap, he's going to college in Dublin, and it's going to cost €9,000 a year just on accommodation, you know? And do you blame them if they go, look, if I get we can't give it away for free, whatever, right? But, like, do you blame if they left the country after they finish studying? You know, because, I mean, where are they going to live?
I did say that. That was the caveat I said. If all things were better, in other words, if there wasn't an accommodation crisis and, you know, we had a reasonable government in power who were fixing that, you know, I just think it would be a good idea to give students completely free education, provided they're willing to stay here and use that education.
Yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, look, you look at for Wexford, for instance, right? There's a three-bedroom house in Wexford at the minute, you can see it on that, in the town. It's €1,900.
I'm afraid, Rene, I'm going to have to let you go, unfortunately. Your line is just, I know you're driving, and I don't want you to pick up the phone, but your line is just way too noisy, unfortunately, so it's very difficult to hear you. Let me just go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. I mean, Dave, this is not such a bad idea, is it, if all things were good?
No, like, obviously, you have a couple of restrictions in it. Like, it's for stuff that we need. Like, don't think of it as a kind of, think of it as, like, we're, like, a wartime infrastructure bill, so to speak. You know, like, what are the sectors we badly need people in? We need teachers, we need doctors, we need nurses, we need GPs, we need engineers, we need software developers, we need people to work in finance, we need tradespeople nearly more than any of them. So all of these different areas, make them free. Don't make your liberal arts degrees or your social studies or your anthropology or sociology courses. You know, the ones that someone goes to college to do because they have no fucking idea what else to go to college for.
Right, okay.
You know. Well, no, it's true. I know people have done these degrees.
I know. Yeah, I know kids who just go to college because their parents want them to go to college. They don't even know what they want to study. So they just go into arts. The arts.
Exactly. Do you know, and I'd also like put a cap on it as well. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, no, but like, if you're from D4 and you know you're Saoirse and Fanon, you know, and mummy and daddy can afford to pay for your college, well, fucking off you pop, mummy and daddy can pay for it. You know, so there needs to be a cap on that as well. But like, it's not a bad idea. You know, I would also go one step further, and I would say if you're a tradesman and you're working to build new houses, you're exempt from having to have a deposit.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. By the way, in relation to what Aintu was saying, bringing people back to Ireland, I think offering them 2-year tax-free, provided they've been out of the country for more than, say, 2 years, I wouldn't make it, you know, just so some guy can flip over and use it and go to Australia for 3 weeks and go back and say, I was away, can I get tax-free for 2 years? But we do need to encourage people back. Dave, just stay there for a second because I have to take a very short break.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.